Hello and welcome to another edition of Bacardi's Balls to the Wall podcast. The podcast that brings you all things football from Mzanzi and beyond. I'm Bacardi editor John T. Mark and I'm joined today by football writer Tsepo and Soelengwe. Hello, Tsepo.
Hello, John T. and hello all our table listeners.
Yep, today we have plenty of things to discuss. Firstly, a new Kaizer Chiefs coach, Kevin Johnson, hired on Monday as interim head coach. Well, sort of hired, moved across from head of development to head coach of the first team after Molefi Nseki was fired from his position with Chiefs knocked out last weekend of the Carling knockout by AmaZulu. Clubs love to say mutually parted ways. We all know what that actually means.
Well, it's not really the case.
And then also Orlando Pirates later in the podcast. We'll look at them. They're playing Polokwane City on Friday evening. And Mamelodi Sundowns have a huge game this weekend in the newly formed African Football League against Al Ahly. So it's that old rivalry resumed. Sundowns against Al Ahly. But we'll start with Kaizer Chiefs, who made their own headlines this week when they announced that the Nseki experiment is over once and for all. We can call it that, I think, because there were some serious eyebrows raised when he was appointed in June ahead of the start of the season. They have also demoted Arthur Zwane to, I'm saying demoted. I think they sort of used it as corporate speak of moved across or whatever.
Should we say maybe redeployed?
Into his redeployed. There it is. There it is. Spoken like a true politician. So, redeployed to the youth structures where he worked before, which is seems to be an admission really by Chiefs that or either Kevin Johnson didn't perhaps want to work with Arthur Zwane, or it's an admission by Chiefs that the Zwane experiment, which has been going on for some time, has not worked out either. Tsepo, what do you make of it all? Firstly, Nseki, it just didn't work out, did it? I mean, they lost again 1-0 at home to AmaZulu. The writing was sort of on the wall in the post-match press conference where he sort of said, you know, if you are hired as a coach, you're there to kind of be fired. His words weren't exactly inspirational. He was pelted again with missiles. Chiefs now look like they're going to have a ban. If the PSL are definitely prosecuting them, there's a DC on the 31st of October. We'll see there what the punishment is. But if PSL prosecutor Zola Majavi sticks to his guns, then it's very likely Chiefs will have to play one home game behind closed doors. I saw a report suggesting it might be the derby, but I have huge doubts about that, given the money and revenue it brings in, whether they'll stretch to that. But another game, certainly, their next there's a game, I think their next home game is actually at home in Polokwane to Cape Town Spurs. So look out for that one, perhaps being played behind closed doors, or another game. And another fine will probably kick in as well for Chiefs. But back to Nseki, start with him. Tsepo, what is your view on that? What did you think of the few months he was in charge?
I think it was a very, very, very bad spell for Nseki. And like you said, I mean, like, you know, the moment when he was, you know, announced as the coach of Kaizer Chiefs, I mean, like, everybody was just shocked, you know, because we all know that Nseki doesn't have, the proper CV of having, you know, coached a senior club, you know. I mean, we all know that he coached at Bafana Bafana. He also had spells at youth levels. But, you know, coaching a big team like Kaizer Chiefs was really going to be a difficult job for him, and I mean, like, it has been the case for him because right now he has been fired at the club, and you know, with the fans, you know, showing their frustrations, you know, twice, you know, being thrown with missiles, it was, you know, just a matter of Chiefs, you know, making the decision to let him go because the fans were, you know, pressurizing him because he wasn't really delivering. And I mean, the results are there, you know, and they tell the story, you know. And we know that with Chiefs, you know, the fans are really worried about the team because now they haven't won a trophy in about close to 9 years now. And, you know, it's a big, huge, huge concern because, I mean, you know, when I look at Chiefs, John T., I look at the team that has, you know, a very balanced squad, and it was just a matter of getting a right coach. And with Nseki, you know, like I said, there were doubts, and the doubts were proven right because he didn't do right with the team, and that's why he was fired.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a strange decision to appoint Nseki, a coach with no experience as a head coach in the top flight. Level, yeah. We know he coached Bafana, and with limited success, they didn't qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations under his watch. He was an assistant coach for a bit at Bloemfontein Celtic, but it was a very weird decision in the sense of I don't think anyone, I think this Nasreddin Nabi was strongly linked. Other coaches were strongly linked. Mankhobe Ngidi from Sundowns was strongly linked. Mm. And then it ended up being Ntseke, which caught everyone by surprise. And it hasn't really worked out. And it's another mistake, really, it looks like, from Chiefs management, from the Motaung family, if you like, that they've maybe picked the wrong guy. So now what they've done is they've turned to Kevin Johnson, who came in only at the beginning, I think, of September, or even towards the end of September, as head of Youth Development Academy. Good reputation, Kevin, for working with younger players. Obviously, his most famous achievement, perhaps, is bringing Stephen Pienaar through the ranks. And Stephen Pienaar obviously turned out to be one of South Africa's best footballing exports. And he certainly is credited with having a good eye for youth. And he does have a lot of experience coaching in the DStv Premiership, albeit not quite with a club of the size of Chiefs. Platinum Stars was perhaps where he had his biggest success. He's also coached at SuperSport United, AmaZulu and Black Leopards in the top flight. And he's certainly a coach who's well known to South Africans. It's an interesting decision by Chiefs, but it's also perhaps the only sensible stopgap given that they've decided now to fire Ntseke. He's right there. Some might cynically say he was right there in preparation for this, seeing as it's been like 3 weeks and he's there. What do you think Kevin can bring? Do you think he'll bring stability to Chiefs? Do you think he'll be able to turn it around? I mean, they've got basically the Nedbank Cup to play for this season, and obviously a decent finish in the league. But it's very unlikely they're going to catch Sundowns at the top of the table. So, what do you see for Kevin Johnson? Can he manage to stabilize the club and at least get them on a bit of a winning streak?
You know, we've a partner of Kevin Johnson. Yes, we do. Someone who have a lot of experience, coaching top tier sides. Even though the teams that he coached were not really big teams, but he does have a good experience. And I think like you said, he really did well with Platinum Stars. I remember there was a season whereby we finished as runners up in the league, and that says a lot about him. Finishing as runners up, coaching a side like Platinum Stars back in those days, it was a huge achievement for him. So Chiefs roping him in, we all expected it. Like, we all knew that once Ntseke gets fired, Kevin Johnson was just there to step in. So it was expected. So, I'm sure now he knows, what he has to do right in order to get things going right for the club. So, him stepping up right now, it's a good step. It's a good step for him. And I think it's going to be a very huge challenge for him as well, because, this is his first time, coaching a really big club like Kaizer Chiefs. So it's going to be... it's going to be a very huge task for him. But I think he's a man who's capable of doing a great job. Like I said, he has done well with so-called, small teams. So coaching Chiefs, whereby there's a lot of, things that are available. They have the players, like I said, they have the infrastructure. They have the right, right things to get the teams back to the top. So he has everything, in place in order to make Chiefs, one of the biggest teams again. But again, this season is going to be very difficult because now they already lost out on the MTN8, they lost out on the Carling Black Label knockout, and now we have a Nedbank, and like you said, having a decent finish this season. But the good thing about it is that we are just about 9 games in the league, so there's still time for him to catch up, so he'll be able to catch up. The unfortunate part about it now is that he's going to his first game, against Arrows with a little bit of problems. There are a couple of players who are injured in the team. Ashley Dupree is injured. He broke his ankle or something. So Ashley Dupree started the season very well. He has 3 goals this season and 2 assists for the club. So having Ashley Dupree out is going to be a minor problem for him. But there are players like Saile, there's Keegan Dole, even though he's not really at his best. But I think having a coach like Kevin Johnson, he'll be able to bring the spark back at Chiefs and try to bring the glory days. I think he's a very good coach, and I think he'll be able to bring some stability at the club.
Yeah, I pick up on a point you made there about the structures being in place. We've got to question Seppo about Chiefs structures being in place, simply because so many people have coached them. It's now the 8th year they haven't won a trophy. If they don't win the Nedbank Cup this season, there's pretty much going to be 9 seasons
without a single trophy? Are the structures in place? Is the club being run properly? These are questions that really have to be asked. Is there a lack of accountability because it's a family-run business? You know, so you've got Bobby in a job, you've got Kaiser Jr. in a job, you've got Jessica in a job, Kamisu in a job. They're all in a job, and job security is fine there, but then the coach always gets it because he's the one who ultimately has to deliver results. That's understood. The coach will understand that. But you've had a coach of the caliber of Gavin Hunt to the club. You've had a coach of the caliber of Stuart Baxter coming for his second spell at the club. Hasn't managed to do anything there. You've had Middendorp, who got the club within 30 minutes of winning the title, something like that.
Yeah.
But then was fired at the end of the season because he wasn't playing the way Chiefs wanted him to. You've had Arthur Zwane coming in with Dylan Shepherd. That didn't really work out.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many coaches that have come in and tried. Is the problem elsewhere?
I agree with you, John. You know, probably, you know, right now it's about time, the management of the club try to see what is really going on, you know, off the field. You know, trying to, you know, fix what is going wrong outside of the field and try to, you know, once they get that right as well, probably, you know, things will start going well. Let's see how Kevin, you know, does, you know, five, you know, six games, and you know, try to see how we can things off the field, so that you know the club can progress. Otherwise, I mean, we can't be blaming coaches every time, whereas we don't know what's really going on off the field.
Yeah, I mean, I've finished with this. This is for me. This is my summation of Kaiser Chiefs. If you like, this is the club that is the best marketing exercise ever in the history of South African football.
One of the best,
and perhaps in the history of South African sport, the success they've had off the field. On it, they used to be a successful exercise. Now they're not a successful exercise. While they still bring out tasty potato chips, they still have...
I love the tomato flavor.
They still have most... Several loves the tomato flavor. They still have most of the sponsors in the league. They still have a huge amount of sponsorship. They still bring in a huge amount of revenue. They're still, by miles, the best-supported club in the country, way ahead of Pirates in terms of that. But they're not delivering on the field, and it's not just the coach. We know that. I mean, and it's not just the players, because, you know, good players will respond to good coaching. The players have to take some responsibility again for the problems, certainly at Chiefs, but there's something else deeper within that club that's problematic in terms of success on the field. And I think at some point the club have to do a bit more self-reflection beyond just firing the coach when the results start going wrong.
So that's another thing, because now, you know, a lot of people are just thinking that, you know, what Chiefs is really doing now, we just, you know, focused on, you know, making Chiefs this huge brand while, you know, letting or taking their eyes off the ball when it comes to the team and how the team is doing on the field. Because now, I mean, like we said, no trophies at all at the club, but the marketing is doing very well. The club's brand is growing every day, but the team itself, the team, the players is not, you know, is not yielding results. And that's not what the fans want. And that's why we are asking a lot of questions right now. Yes, we see the progress that's been done in the branding of the team and all of that. But now the success of the team is just going down.
Yep. Well, we'll see what happens. Chiefs play Golden Arrows in Hammersdale on Saturday. That's Kevin Johnson's first fixture in charge. Be interesting to see what team he picks. He does have at least Keegan Dolly available again. Dolly played his first game under Nsekia, his first start in the weekend after having an injury for the whole of the season up to sort of now. He came off the bench in the previous match. So maybe he can bring some inspiration. Maybe he'll be inspired by a change of coach.
Probably.
We shall see on Saturday, but Arrows are in good form. Mabudi Kenyas is doing very well with that team. On much less of a budget than Chiefs have. Okay, let's move on, because we've spent quite a while there talking about Chiefs, and we're going to wrap this up reasonably quickly. So let's move on quickly to Sundowns Al Ahly. Sundowns beat Petro de Luanda 2-0 on aggregate to progress to the semi-finals. Al Ahly also got through, although it was more of a struggle for them. They drew 3-3 and made it through on the away goals rule. They will now play each other in the semi-final of the newly formed African Football League. Both teams, I think, guaranteed about a couple of million US dollars. Whatever happens in this match, but if you go to the final, you have a chance to win 4 million US dollars. Big money for winning effectively four to six games. It's obviously over two legs. So the first leg this weekend, Obviously, there's a lot of connections between the two clubs, especially in recent years with Pitso Mosimane going to from Sundance to be head coach at Al Ahly. Percy Tau now playing for Al Ahly and one of their best players and really in good form at the moment. How do you see it? I mean, Relani's still looking to prove himself, Relani Mokoena, on a continental stage. Mm. He's certainly done it all domestically. So what do you think? What do you think will happen in this one, Tepo?
You know, I think the EFL, you know, has come at the right time for him because he wasn't able to prove himself that much in the previous, you know, CAF Champions League campaign, whereby, you know, they lost out during the knockout stages. But now with the AFL, you know, just, you know, 8 teams in the competition now having reached the semifinals. And, you know, this is a tournament that's being played by, you know, the best teams in the continent. So right now, this is a good stage for him to prove himself as one of the top coaches in the continent. And now reaching the semifinals, going up against Al Ahly, you know, I'm very confident in Hulan because he has beaten Al Ahly before. And, you know, going to this game, he has the pedigree and he has the players who are able to get the results against Al Ahly. We've seen, I think earlier this year, you know, they met Al Ahly and they beat them. So, you know, going to this game, I see Sundowns winning because, I mean, I know that Hulani is very eager to lift this trophy, especially since it's on his first season. So Hulani will be going, you know, all out. And besides not having Ntobi Mvala after getting that red card against the Petro de Luanda, you know, he still has some players who will be able to fill that void. And I'm sure that they'll be able to get the results. Even though I know Percy Tau will also like to get a win against Sundowns and prove a point as well.
Yeah, Percy Tau certainly in good nick, as we said. Missed out on the Bafana squad for personal reasons recently, but came in to that squad, well, didn't come into that squad on the back of good form with Al Ahly, and is a man that Sundowns will certainly have to watch out for. He did score, I think, the last time he was in South Africa in the Champions League for Al Ahly as well.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
A wonderful goal, although Al Ahly were on the end of a hammering in that particular game, so we'll see what happens in this one. Okay, let's finish off with Orlando Pirates. Orlando Pirates really need some kind of league form. Cup form has been exceptional. They're in the next round of the Carling Knockout, beating Cape Town Spurs last Friday. They have won the MTN8, beating Mamelodi Sundowns on penalties in the final. But in the league, they really aren't performing as well. Okay, they've played fewer matches than anyone else. Six games, but they've got a pretty mediocre record in those six games. Their last result, I think, a goalless draw with AmaZulu. Mm. And that's an AmaZulu side that the coach, Pablo Franco Martin, was complaining about having to play this game on a Tuesday, a couple of days after his side had beaten Chiefs in the Carling Knockout. So he was saying maybe AmaZulu were tired. If they were, they still managed to get a draw out of Pirates. So, Sepa, Polokwane City are a side that have done quite well. They obviously picked up they picked up a surprising thrashing of SuperSport on Thursday, where they were 4-0 up and Terence Tvukumanja got a late consolation for SuperSport. Mm. But that was perhaps surprising. Certainly in the distance of the scoreline, it was surprising. How do you see that one? I mean, Pirates really need to start winning league games if they're going to have any sort of chance at a title challenge this season.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to the league, Jonty, if there's one thing that I notice, you know, obviously, is that, you know, the first 5 games are very, very crucial for you if you want to really go out and win the championship title. You must make sure that you get that first 15 points. Otherwise, you know, Pirates, the way they've started, you know, I mean, they've already recorded 2 draws, 2 wins, and 2 losses in the league. And we are down on 13th position on the log. Whereas the Sundowns, you know, who are contenders, you know, early contenders for the title, they are on 24 points, 16 points behind Sundowns. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult for them to try and catch up with Sundowns, you know, despite them having about, you know, two games behind. So, you know, I think for Pirates right now, it's just about, you know, getting their mentality right in order to pick up as much results as we can, you know, and as much points as we can. Because now, if we really want to chase Soviet, you know, championship title, it's going to be very difficult. And what we have to do now is that we also have to hope that, you know, Sundowns, you know, as along the way, we kind of, you know, slip, you know, and drop points here and there. Because otherwise, I don't really see, you know, Pirates going all out and challenging Sundowns for a title, even though it's still early. But, you know, going up against Polokwane City on Friday is going to be very challenging for them, because Polokwane City, they have the new boys, you know, coming, returning to the top tier. They've done very well, you know, besides, you know, having, you know, some issues, losing some of their players like in Pomakola, you know, your Mhlongo as well. So they still have a very good team and they've done very well. I think they are fifth in the log right now. You know, it says a lot about them, you know, unlike Cape Town Spurs, you know, who have not won a single game. So it's so embarrassing for Cape Town Spurs, you know, lost all of their 8 league games. So Polokwane City have really started on a positive note and they've shown that they are a very competitive side. And what I saw as well, you know, having Ndumiso Mabena at the club at Polokwane City, you know, he has really played quite a huge role, you know, besides his age, you know, his experience has come really, really handy for them. And Coach Duncan Lachesa also praised him because he says, you know, his experience and his knowledge of the game has really helped the younger players, you know, to get in there and, you know, play their best football. It doesn't matter which side they come up against, they're just going to go there and do their best and make sure that they get results. Hence, they're able to beat the likes of Super Sport, who have a very, very, a quality squad. So it's going to be very difficult for Pirates, you know, against Polokwane City. But I mean, like, Pirates have they are able to get the results. It's just a matter of them, you know, trying to get that. But finishing seems to be a bit of a problem now for Pirates, because we play quite well and we create chances. But, you know, I think once we get that finishing right, especially in the league, they'll be able to, you know, to get things going well for them in the league.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned the experience of Mabena there. I was thinking Cape Town Spurs today signed Surprise Vilani.
Oh, yes.
Perhaps he can bring a similar steady head to and obviously a massive footballing talent. I mean, he won 2 league titles with Mamelodi Sundowns, albeit they didn't play too much.
Yeah.
Perhaps he can bring some help to Cape Town Spurs, because, as we said, they've lost 8 out of 8. Sundowns have... Sundowns, meanwhile, have won 8 out of 8.
And then that's 9, including the Carling knockout.
Yeah, they also lost in the Carling knockout. Sundowns have won 8 out of 8 in the league, also lost in the Carling knockout with a seriously depleted team. But in the league, they're looking unbeatable again, let's face it. Albeit that they'll have some catch-up to play because of they were supposed to play Swallows this weekend, of course, but they're playing in Al Ahly. So good luck to them in that game. Good luck to both Pirates and Polokwane City on Friday night. Good luck to everyone playing, in fact, this weekend. Please do like us at Picardy on Facebook, with Picardy with 3 A's. That's Picardy with 3 A's. Follow us on Twitter, Picardy also with 3 A's. Get your copy of Picardy, the Picardy supplement, free when you buy the Citizen newspaper every Tuesday. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Ciao.